The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. I love you. You're awesome.
Hello, my sanity in the morning.
You got my adrenaline flowing before I even had my coffee here this morning.
We don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence. And that is a category that includes gun violence, but it also includes some pretty horrible stuff, like rape committed without a weapon, or like a stabbing.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
It's a real thrill to bring her into the show. She is, by most accounts, the front runner to be the next mayor of Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, and joins us this morning. Ms. Parker, it's a real pleasure to welcome you to the program. I appreciate your time today.
Sure. Thank you so much, Chris. I thank you for having me, and hello to the Answer listening audience.
Well, you bet. I know you probably know that you and I, politically speaking, may not share a lot in common, but I want to say, and this is a sincere thing, we reached out because we want a working relationship and a conversation with the next mayor. And if that's to be you, we were very appreciative you were willing, because it's been about a decade since we were able to talk with the last one.
Wow. Unfortunate, but I'm here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. In fact, let me just jump off by asking you that question. When I moved to Philadelphia and got to know Philadelphia government, Michael Nutter was the mayor. And he was a frequent guest of the show. I don't know your relationship with him, but what would you say, I guess if you want to say politically or leadership-wise, how are you like him or not like him at all? And did you have much of a relationship with him versus someone like Jim Kennedy today?
I would argue that because no one like me, Chris, has ever gotten this close to the opportunity to potentially lead this city, no one should expect me to act like, walk like, or talk like anyone who's ever preceded, if it's God's will and I get the opportunity to serve this city. But with that being said, I was a staffer. I was 11 years old when Wilson Good made history in 1983 and won the primary election and went on to become the first black mayor of this city. But I served as a staffer and council during the Rendell administration, the Street administration. I was a member of the Pennsylvania House when Nutter was elected. I am proud to have delivered on many of the items that helped keep Philadelphia on sound fiscal footing during the Nutter administration. And Jim Kenney and I have worked together for a long time. And no matter how, much people agree to disagree with any of those folks, I have a great deal of respect and admiration for them for throwing their hats in the ring and for doing their best to try to lead our city forward.
You gained a lot of attention after your primary victory, Ms. Parker, because there was a lot of big money thrown at those in opposition to you, people specifically like Helen Gim, who are called the progressive candidate. And again, sincere question. I'm just trying to kind of understand it through your eyes. What were you up against inside your own party? How are you different than all of the money that was spent against you? A lot of people pointed you out as, these are my words and just kind of my summary of it, and you tell me if it's right or wrong, that you're a little closer to average folks, working class folks. You're aware of what real Philadelphia is, versus some sort of kind of distant political movement. And that's why you won. How do you interpret what was up against you? And how do you interpret why you won?
Wow, Chris, thank you for that overview. I would I will argue that I have a whole lot of people who are very close to me who would probably strongly agree with how you characterize the first part of that. I did not try to hide the fact, Chris, that I come from very humble beginnings. My mother was a single teenage mother. I was raised by my grandparents. My biological father wasn't a part of my my life. I grew up and my grandmother received welfare. She worked as a domestic worker, a day's worker. That meant that she cleaned the homes of wealthy people to take care of me. My grandfather was a physically disabled and a retired Navy veteran. And so I know what it's like to have to, you know, depend on food stamps and subsidize food to survive. And what I committed to Philadelphia during the primary is that I would not try to act as if I was this perfect Manchurian candidate. Quite frankly, I just turned 51 not long ago, and I don't have the energy to do that. So what I committed to doing was being my authentic human self, communicating to the public that I wouldn't be afraid to make the tough decisions needed to bring order back to our city, that if we work together and they gave me the honor and privilege of serving as their mayor, we would make Philadelphia the safest, cleanest, greenest big city in the nation that offered access to economic opportunity for all. Chris, how did it feel, Sherelle? Because you were like, you know, I describe myself as having been the only real working families candidate in the race. Why? I took on a consulting role with a firm because I had to pay the mortgage. I had to pay, you know, my utilities. I had to keep my son and I on sound fiscal footing. And that pressure of not coming from wealth and being born into wealth and not being able to, you know, self-fund is what we call it, right? When you're wealthy enough that you really don't have to raise money because you have so much, you can pay for everything yourself. Well, that wasn't me. And, it was challenging. And I'm going to be honest. I'm a gosh, I feel like I'm talking to a therapist now. It was depressing for me. Right. And what has been couched as being the most competitive, the most expensive, and quite frankly, intense mayoral primary election in my lifetime. But how did I get through it? I got through it because of exactly what you just said. I told Philadelphians that I'm not a bastion of perfection, but that I'm a human being, and I am the one who is willing to put my lived life experience, my intergovernmental experience, my academic credentials. I'm a first generation college graduate, first generation Ivy League graduate, and I'm going to use all of that to help lead our city if the people give me the honor and privilege to do so.
I love it. I hear your passion. And I am trying, because politically, as you understand, whether it's Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, conservative, whatever the labels you want to call it, I think all of us politically are seeing schisms, realignments, kind of a fight for the direction on all sides as to where we're going. Is amongst Democrats, is there a difference for you versus those that opposed you? A lot of money. You mentioned the money. There's undoubtedly a tremendous sum of money. I mean, outside wealth like we've never seen went pouring in to this mayoral primary to your opponent. Who are those people? And are they different from you somehow? If so, do you see that? And how would you define that for us?
Well, Chris, oh, wow, this is my first time ever talking to you. Chris, I'm going to say this, don't you laugh at me, please.
No, of course not.
I've developed in my mind a very strong detestation for people who engage in what I have coined, I know what's best for you's people policy making. That is, for example, during my tenure as a member of council, long before I announced that I was running for mayor, I introduced a comprehensive neighborhood safety and community policing plan. You know, PIE, right? Prevention, intervention, and enforcement was my foundation. And one of the elements of that plan was a call to put more police on the street. And I wanted officers that, you know, walking the beat, riding the bike, getting to know the people they are sworn to protect and serve, trying to strengthen that, right? Yeah. But while understanding that we will have zero tolerance for any misuse and or abuse of authority. But if I'm the mayor, we're going to have a police department and a police commissioner who knows that their mayor supports them and respects them putting their lives on the line for us on a daily basis, especially during these very difficult times. Well, I had people who attempted to weaponize, right, my perspective against me. And so let me use a tool, a very polarizing tool, particularly in Black and brown communities, is this issue of stop and frisk. Why does it become controversial? Because, you know, I'm the mother of a son who is 11 years old. He's chocolate like me, as I like to say, and he wears his hair natural in locks. I know what it's like when that tool has historically been used to profile Black and brown men in particular. That was weaponized against me. But I said, no, you can say that in an effort to try to win a line in a debate. But what I support are called Terry stops. This is when a law enforcement officer knows that a crime has been, will be, or is being committed, and they have just cause and reasonable suspicion to stop you. With that being said, in no way will I try to take that tool away from our police department when they should be doing everything to make our public health and safety their number one priority. Were there people on other sides of the spectrum who said, you know, oh no, see, she's just too tough. She lacks compassion. She lacks empathy. They have a right to their opinion. If I'm the mayor, there's going to be a whole lot of people pissed off because of some of the decisions that I make, Chris. But that goes along with the territory. I've asked the people to give me an opportunity to serve them, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
You know, I'm fascinated with that answer because I think what I hear you say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. You correct me if I'm wrong. This is something that's always bothered me. This is a majority city people of color who vote. And in Philadelphia, a majority of people of color who vote and selected you clearly heard this message and it resonated with them. There's this attitude or idea that somehow if you're of color, you're against police or policing. And it seems to me clearly those that showed up to vote said otherwise. Am I interpreting that correctly?
No, Chris. The only thing I would do is I would affirm for your listening audience here at The Answer, in no way, shape, or form did I just get through the primary election and become victorious by one constituency of people.
Fair
that would
enough.
Be Black and brown people.
Yep.
I was proud to put together a citywide coalition. They were people in the Northeast, the river, Josh Squilla and Councilmember Driscoll, who were extremely important supporters of mine, that we had, you know, old Irish, Italian, South Philadelphians, longtime residents, and people from Center City. And our base came from all walks of life, but the coalition said, you know, we agree with Sherelle's message that we won't allow anybody to use race, class, socioeconomic status, or religion to divide us. The message about safer, cleaner, greener economic opportunity for all, the message and the vision is what brought people together. And and as it relates to Black people and brown people in particular, I had strong support in the Latino community, and I'm super proud of it. I think it was overall they were no different than any other Philadelphian who said, listen, we feel like a sense of lawlessness has taken over our city and we're tired of it. You look at, for example, regions like what's happening in Kensington. I'm talking to Councilmember Ketsi Lozada, you know, quite often. I feel for the people who live there and have not had the ability to leave. I feel for the children who are walking through open air drug markets, open air drug use. And somebody's going to tell me that we shouldn't have a law enforcement presence there. I don't want to criminalize addiction and or homelessness, but I know it's not going to be okay for people to defecate on the streets and use drugs openly. That's not something that's going to be acceptable to me. And Chris, you have to know, you're a journalist. You talk to a whole lot of people. I want your audience to know in advance that people are going to say bad things about me. But I want them to know that I get that and I understand that, but it's not going to stop me from making tough decisions.
Well, amen. Listen, I can promise you right now, this audience is saying amen as they're listening to this conversation. May I ask you then, as you kind of look at the city today and the state it's in, what do you say if day one as Mayor Parker, what is your priority? Where is the biggest emergency or need at this hour in your view?
Well, listen, Chris, I've been consistent about this. That's our public health and safety. That's the number one priority. You know, I don't care if you're talking about growing business here so we can increase Philadelphia's tax base. I don't care if we're talking about, you know, delivering quality public education. I offered a program for year-round public education, not with students just sitting in a traditional classroom, you know, from 8:45 until 7:30 at night, but bringing a building and construction trades back into schools, financial literacy, programs that will give life experiences to our children, you know, especially to recognize that all people aren't interested in going to college, right?
Yep.
But to any opportunity that will work to put people on a path to self-sufficiency. And so we're going to use every tool that we can in order to do that. But public safety is a must. First things first, the mayor's got to understand that selecting a police commissioner, right, who has one knowledge of our city. You know, I don't want anybody who needs a GPS that, you know, to get to the clothespin. Right. If you're in Philadelphia, you should know where that is.
Yep.
Right. So I want someone with knowledge of our department. I do want to make sure that we have searched nationwide. I'm talking about people outside of Philly. But we also recognize the talent that we have currently in our city and the talent that may have come through our city. So somebody's listening, probably saying, oh, she sounds a little biased. She wants somebody who comes from the department. I haven't been shy about that. When you are like me and you've worked your way through the ranks and you've learned this city and nothing has been given to you, you've had to work and earn a seat at every table that you've been a part of, you're absolutely right. I do. So I want the best and the brightest, cultural competency, emotional intelligence, and someone who is able to put together a comprehensive crime plan. Listen, Chris, that is in line with the public safety vision that I introduced. I have a plan. People can look at it at www.sherelleparker.com, but they have to agree with that vision. What do you mean? If you coming in, you're going to be the police commissioner under a Parker administration, you won't be supporting safe injection sites. And, you know, I don't believe in safe injection sites as a viable tool to address our opioid crisis, giving the people a place to go shoot up drugs. And, you know, even if a medical professional is present, you know, as a way, well, we need to, you know, use this as a tool to reduce or eliminate, you know, overdoses and deaths. Listen, I know, and they're rising among Black and brown people in particular, but I like the other strategy, long-term care, treatment, housing, and giving people skills necessary to take care of themselves. And we're going to have people in line with that vision, Chris, but also people who are not afraid to do something that I don't know I've seen in my lifetime. I want the listening audience to go when you can, something called ComStat 360. I just learned that it was the 360, but CityStat. We're going to have every department, anybody who has a role in shaping that agenda, safer, cleaner, greener, economic opportunity, and we're going to come together and they're going to have to explain to me as mayor, how is my leadership and the functioning of this city department going to help this city get safer, cleaner, and greener and that economic opportunity? So, Chris, my thinking is just a little bit different, and some people don't like it because I'm straightforward, but what you hear right now, answer audience, this is what you get. And I am I'm not going to stop being who I am, but I'm going to give the people of our city everything I can to move it forward if they give me the privilege of serving them.
Sherelle Parker, I don't think there's a single person, there can't be, if you're honest, there can't be anybody that disagrees that your focus on safety and public safety is paramount and first things first. I would hope everyone agrees with that. I could keep you here all day. I won't, because I hope we'll continue these conversations. I'll ask you in closing. closing, Larry Krasner has been a tremendous source of debate about whether or not he's as committed to public safety as someone like you are. Can you speak specifically to him, your relationship with him, and going forward, if you're mayor, what you think your relationship with him might be?
I know District Attorney Larry Krasner. You just heard me mention, Chris, this concept that I have in my mind called ComStat 360. I am a convener. I bring people together. You know how you think about things that you're good at and things you haven't been so good at in life? Well, when I was in Harrisburg, I had to work with people who I philosophically agreed to disagree with on a lot of issues. And sure. I mean, when I tell you we fought. I'm talking about common sense reforms that I thought would help us control the flow of illegal guns, voting rights. I am a proud pro-choice woman. We debated about those things. But I also am very proud to have worked with my Republican colleagues to deliver for the city of Philadelphia on a number of substantial issues. And so when it comes to our district attorney, he would be a part and is a part. And we can't ignore that he is a part of that structure. And I'm talking about sort of the courts, the district attorney's office, the police department, the mayor, our legislative leaders in Harrisburg, quite frankly, local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, mental and behavioral health agencies, human service agencies. Everybody has to be at the table. I won't accept finger pointing. I'm going to empower transparency. So if our police department, you know, confiscates X number of illegal motor vehicles like ATVs, if they, you know, have arrested X number of people for retail theft, you know, it won't be okay to go, you know, into a Philadelphia business, steal $499 worth of merchandise and think that you won't get arrested in a Parker administration. I'm just not going to allow that. So I'm going to work with everybody, bring everyone to the table, because it's the only thing, Chris, it's not a sexy way to describe how my mind works and the kind of leadership style that I have, but it's the only way I know how to solve problems, and that's what I'll do.
Well, listen, you've given me a lot of your time today. This audience, I know, appreciates it, and I do too, because, like I said, I mean, you've proven what you just said you mean. You didn't have to come here, but you did, and I'm grateful to you. And like I say, we may not always agree on much of everything, but I value the opportunity to talk. And should you be successful in becoming the next mayor, I hope we can continue to talk here.
Thank you so much, Chris. And to the answer audience, this is my first time ever talking to you. I hope I didn't put you to sleep. And,
no, I hope you enjoyed it too.
I get a chance to talk to you all again.
I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for coming.
All righty.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.